a simple scripture today. We will be going to a lot of different scriptures today, and then one big text a little bit later on. But if you want to, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. Proverbs 16 and verse 20. We've been doing a series here on God's will, and kind of a subtitle would be Making Decisions God's Way. And I hope that as you, many of you have big decisions that you're probably making even now. I know many of you do have big decisions you're making now. We want to encourage each other on how we can make those decisions the best way. And today we're going to look at the idea or the truth of godly counsel. Hopefully at some point in your life, you will be godly counsel for someone, but also today, especially that you'll be able to heed, not just listen to, but obey godly counsel. Let's look together. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20. The word of God says, "Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord." Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Now, I want to start off this morning with a good quote, and I think this is really important, especially when you are raised up in a democratic state, a democracy. "Never confuse the will of the majority with the will of God." Right? So, from early on, I was taught, well, if you got 51, you win, right? And sometimes we think that way even in church decisions corporately. But what we are always trying to get is we love to have the majority be pursuing the mind and the heart of God, but that we all know that's not always the case, right? So today what we're going to get is try to cultivate and hear the voice of God, but as it comes through godly counsel. We've been looking at different things, again, not to review everything, but we know that the will of God starts with the fear of God, right? Understanding the will of God is to fear him in the proper respect, with reverence and respect. We also looked at quickly the fleece and how that sometimes we really are desperate to know that God is behind us in the decisions we're making, but we had to be careful with our fleeces. Then we looked at what I think is one of the most important things, that Jesus is so clear in this in the Gospels, that the will of God is tied to the word of God. And we will continually come back to that. And then last week, we were reminded about the importance of prayer and the sometimes there's an absence of peace in the will of God. We've even heard that a little this morning, haven't we, right? There can be stress, and yet we can still be making the right decision, even in the midst of stress. In order to endure that, we need to be a people of prayer. Another thing I want to hit real quickly, and we're going to review this just a little bit later, but godly counsel, sometimes you ask for it, and sometimes it comes to you. Have you ever had godly counsel come to you? It's not always the most pleasant. It may come in the form of criticism or a critique or someone else's that maybe you don't think that much of, and yet the Lord uses them to challenge you. And so we need to be prepared to listen when God is giving us directions. This from Dennis Rupert, just to carry the idea, and I hope this will help you again as we try to prioritize determining the will of God. I thought this was it's somewhat humorous, but a good illustration. He says, "There are a lot of different very good systems for knowing God's will. I have following guideline to be of a great help. Number one, scripture. Number two, scripture. Number three, scripture. Number four, the Bible. Number five, scripture." Are you getting the point? "Number six, prayer. Number seven, advice of others. Eight, circumstances. And nine, reason." Okay, everybody tracking with that? When you are looking to know what God wants you to do, you need to start with the Bible, and you need the Holy Spirit. That wasn't on his list, but I think he was trying to carry the idea of how important that the Bible is to making godly decisions. But today, we're going to focus on godly counsel. If you'd like to, you can turn your Bibles to Proverbs 19 and verse 21. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. And I want to emphasize just a little bit here about this idea of godly counsel, and that is that godly counsel is counsel from God. Proverbs 19, 21, the word of God says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that," what? that prevails, right? The Lord's purpose prevails. Godly counsel means godly counsel, not good opinions from nice people. Where do you get your advice from? I bet probably nobody even in this room ever even reads an advice column in a newspaper anymore, right? Back in the day, those things were really popular, weren't they, right? And most people would just read them to be nosy, to see what was going on in other people's lives, okay? Then we kind of went through a phase where it seemed like that talk shows were everywhere, and all of these self-help gurus would start a talk show, and they would be the one who would write a book, and they would share their advice and try to help guide your life, right? Of course, now today, where are you getting, even if you don't want it, where are you getting a lot of advice from? TikTok, right? Do we have any TikTokers in here besides Megan? I don't know. Okay. In social media today, it comes at you all in so many different forms, doesn't it? I'm trying to give you advice. And what I want to really encourage you today is we are not talking about good opinions from nice people. We're talking about truth. We cannot let go of the idea of truth. Our whole culture right now would like to make truth a completely relative thing. Truth for you is not truth for me. You can have your truth. I can have my truth. We'll all just have our own truth. But in order to get godly counsel, it needs to come from God. God needs to be the source of godly counsel. So we're not looking just for some good opinions from nice people. Godly counsel will come from God, which means that a godly counselor is these things. If we're looking for a godly counselor, we want to be with someone who knows the Word of God. Be careful when you're trying to look for advice from someone you think is wise if they are not into the Word of God, or heaven help us, that they would not believe all of the Word of God. There's plenty of people today that are purporting to be religious but don't live and know the Word of God. Also, godly counsel should come from someone who is spending quality time with God. How can you know the mind of God if you don't spend any time with God, right? So if someone is all talk and they're not in prayer, again, they're not going to be a godly counselor. And then ultimately, someone who is in the Word of God, who is spending time with God and submitting themselves to God, will be one who is living a godly life. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. You can be encouraged today. It is okay to get godly counsel. Have any of you ever received godly counsel? I mean, many, many times in my life, I go looking for direction from someone, and there are certain people that I have a lot of confidence in that I reach out to because I want to know how they might handle a certain situation. And I really, a lot of times, use that along with prayer, along with the Word of God, to hopefully help me make a decision that is God-centered and that is pleasing to God. So what we want to do is we want to hear and to heed godly counsel. What's it mean to heed? We don't use that word much anymore, do you? Right? To heed is to obey. To obey. Right? We have our little grandpup with us right now, Stormy. And Stormy hears everything. Her little antenna ears, I mean everything. But Stormy does not always heed what she hears. You're tracking with that? Sometimes we're the same way with the Lord, aren't we, right? We got our Christian radio on. We got our maybe some Christian shows on. We're reading our Christian feeds on our phone. And we're coming to church hearing the preacher. We got the Bible going, you know. We're hearing. But what we need is to heed the word of the Lord. So I want to encourage you in that this morning that we would do that. Proverbs 19:20, what a powerful, good proverb. Listen to advice and accept what? Don't you wish there was like some scriptures you could just kind of like hide or put to the back or something, right? Wow, right? Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you'll be counted among the wise. And again, Jesus is the ultimate picture of wisdom in the scripture. I want to encourage you again that we would allow the Lord to work in our hearts in such a way that we would accept discipline. And here's what I want to challenge you the most this morning. We're going to talk about this in just a minute from a biblical story. Sometimes you need to hear things that you don't want to hear. right? When a friend comes your way and they kind of provoke you a little bit and poke you a little bit, and you're kind of like, well, who are you to tell me what? I'm going to go down your list of things. And what we need to do is step back and accept that Christian admonition with meekness and with a heart that is submissive to hear the voice of the Lord. I'm challenging you today to let your heart be attuned to accepting the Lord's counsel, even when it comes that you weren't necessarily asking for. Real quick quote I thought was kind of funny, but also kind of good. If one man calls you a donkey, pay him no mind. If two men call you a donkey, get a saddle. Right? Okay. So again, there'll be some people that will just criticize you and they just want to tear you down. But when Christian people who are walking and praying and serving the Lord and seeking the Lord, and you know that what they are for is your good, not that they're trying to elevate themselves, they're trying to elevate you. And when you know someone loves you and cares about you and they're trying to help you get closer to the Lord, you want to listen to their reproof, even if it hurts. But again, we need to be the kind of people that we're not trying to tear someone down to make us feel better, but we're trying to help someone, shape someone so they'd be what the Lord wants them to be. Ultimately, again, where we have started just a few minutes ago is we want to look for the truth. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Okay, I'm not making this stuff up, right? The Lord is very clear that it is okay and it is good to get good, godly counsel. So we're going to look at a very, very familiar story about counsel this morning. A lot of scripture here to read. Just a few points at the end of this to highlight it. But I think you guys know the story, and I think it's a good reminder about when we need to actually have people speak truth to us when we're not necessarily wanting to hear it. If you want to, turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 12, and we're going to be reading very quickly through verse 1 through verse 19 in 1 Kings chapter 12. If you guys know a little bit about Hebrew history, Israelite history, who was the first king of Israel? Anybody remember? Saul. He was a foot taller. He was the good-looking guy. He was the powerful, strong guy. He was the politician's politician. Everybody said, that's the guy we want to be king. And then after God had decided he was going to rip the kingdom from Saul because of his sinful life, Samuel went to go see this little youngest boy. His name was David. And what did Samuel think at first? He went to the oldest. He went down the whole, almost down the whole line, and finally was like, is this the guy? And the Lord revealed to him that God does not look on the outward appearance as man looks, but God looks at the heart, right? So you had David, who was your next king. David, his son, Solomon will become king. After Solomon, we come to this young man here. His name is Rehoboam. Solomon was very wise, but he was also really big into taxes. Anybody here really like taxes? Nobody ever has. Okay. So you're going to find out in this passage that what's going to happen is Rehoboam is taking his father Solomon's throne. He's going to be the king. He has an opportunity to really grow and expand the kingdom. He has a big decision before him, and he needs some godly counsel. So what decision will he make? Look there in verse 1, 1 Kings chapter 12. So Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all the Israelites had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard this, he was still in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon. So Jeroboam had a great amount of influence, but he had been on the run for a while. But after Solomon passed, Jeroboam returned from Egypt. Look in verse 3. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam, and they said to him, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you. Rehoboam answered, go away for 3 days and then come back to me. So the people went away. One good thing here for Rehoboam, he did a good thing here. He said, give me a little time to make a good decision. Do you know how to spot a scam? One of the ways we spot phishing scams is it's urgent. I need you to help me right now. I've got a deal for you right now, but it's going to go away in just a few seconds. If you don't take advantage of it, you're never going to have this opportunity again. So you need to take care of it right now. If someone is pressuring you to make a decision in that moment, often it is not a good thing. Rehoboam makes a good choice. He says, go away, give me a little time. I want to see if I can get the best decision. So that was a good deal. Verse 6. Then Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. How would you advise me to answer these people? He asked. And they replied, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. What is a leader most of all? Did you hear who said that? I figured that's where it was coming from probably one of the best leaders in the building. He knows if you're going to be a good leader, you got to serve, right? A lesson many of our politicians could relearn, right? If you're going to be a good leader, you need to serve. That was the advice that the elders were giving to Rehoboam. It was good advice. It was godly advice. If you want to make a difference, if you want to move forward, they said to him, if you will serve the people, guess what? They will serve you. But now look down at verse 8. But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him, and they consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. And he asked them, what is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, lighten the yoke your father put on us? The young men who had grown up with him replied, tell these people who have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with what? Scorpions. Now, this is all penology right here, so bear with this, okay? But I have this kind of feeling. You just got out of college, got all your college buddies with you. You've got some influence, some unexpected influence came your way. You really weren't expecting it to happen so quickly. So you start to share some of that influence with some of your friends, and then all of a sudden everybody has stepped into a place of influence and power. And what do these young men decide to do? You ain't seen nothing yet, you bunch of old people. Right? And how did Rehoboam like that? What did it do to him to hear what they had to say? Hear me up this morning. It fed his ego. That's why he liked it. That's why he liked that advice. Have you ever had somebody who's going to give you some advice and they start by just buttering you up and flattering you and saying how wonderful you are and oh, you're great, right? And then they try to get their little, what they want, their angle, as you said this morning, right? They try to find their angle. Be careful with people who are just building your and just feeding your ego. Look down at verse 12. You see the end of the story. So 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam, as the king had said, come back to me in 3 days. And the king answered the people harshly, rejecting the advice given him by the elders. He followed the advice of the younger men and said, my father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from the Lord to fulfill the word of the Lord that had been spoken to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, through Ahijah the Shilonite. When all Israel saw the king had refused to listen to them, they answered the king, what share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, O Israel. You know what they're saying? It's over. We're done with you. To your tents, Israel. Forget David. Forget Solomon. Forget David's family. We're going to do our own thing. Look after your own house, O David. So the Israelites went home. But as for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them. King Rehoboam sent out Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor. But what happened to him? All Israel stoned him to death. We're going to scourge you with scorpions was the word. Well, they sent out the man to carry out the plan, and the people ended that man's life. King Rehoboam, however, managed to get into his chariot and escape to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. You see the power of godly counsel and the power of rejecting, or the problem with rejecting godly counsel. The whole split in the kingdom of Israel here. It was declared by the Lord. God said it would happen, but it comes as a result of one young man's ego and his desire to have his itching ears fed with what he wanted to hear rather than hearing the truth of the Lord. You want to make a good decision. It needs to be pleasing to the Lord. Again, if Rehoboam had listened to the elders, he would have kept the whole kingdom. Are you willing to listen to people who may speak hard truths to you? Do you have someone in your life that you can trust to tell you the truth when everyone else just tells you how wonderful you are? This is somewhat humorous, but absolutely true. And one of the things I love about my wife is she can tell me the truth. I love that. Every now and then she'll butter me up, not very much. But what I love about her is that I know that if she's telling me the truth, she's doing it that I would be better for my edification, for my encouragement. Do you have someone like that in your life? If you don't, you need to find someone. Get a buddy that you can trust, that you can say, I need you to tell me the truth. And that will help you so much. All right. I want to do something that's slightly different, but I hope that will help you as we try to finish up today. I want to get very practical for a minute here. And I want to give you two different organizations have given examples of what it is to seek godly counsel in a specific area. The first one we're going to look at is financial. How do you get godly counsel when you're trying to seek financial wisdom? And the second one I think is very appropriate and very interesting in our day is how do you get godly counsel when you're seeking to use medication? What? That's a little bit odd, isn't it, right? Christians don't need medication, right? By the way, right? Didn't we establish that? I'm tongue in cheek there, all right? How, and what I want you to see is what I think is so powerful. If you'll look at these truths, they're good for decision making across all different kinds of questions, not just those areas, but I think it will help us this morning as we try to tie it all together and wrap it up this morning. So first thing this morning, financial counsel. This is from a man by the name of Larry Burkett for many, many years. Before Dave Ramsey got all big, Larry Burkett was kind of the financial guy for Christian counsel. He says, the first thing, if you're going to make a good financial decision, is to seek and select Christian counsel. That means it is good to find advice from people who know the Lord. And the scripture uses some Psalm 1:1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the what? The wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Get counsel from people who love the Lord. Second thing he says is seek and select wise counsel. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Hear me out this morning. Please hear me carefully. Just because someone has a fish sticker on their car or on their office door does not mean they have a clue what they're doing or that they're even following the Lord. Everybody tracking with that? You make sure that you can learn about who they are and their character, what their relationship is with the Lord, what their trust is in the Word of God, and are they living a life that is pleasing to the Lord? Then you can challenge that counsel and see if that counsel is good. Don't just go because they have some sort of brand that says, oh yeah, I'm in that group. We know, we all know, we're not naive. Many people will do whatever they can to make a few bucks. And if that means adding a certain sticker in a certain place to make some money for a certain time, they will do that. So be careful. Seek and select wise counsel. Number three, this I thought was interesting. Seek and select multiple qualified counselors. Proverbs 15:22. Without consultation, plans are frustrated. But with, and again, not my words, these are the Lord's words, but many, with many counselors, they succeed. I like what Larry Burkett said there, multiple qualified counselors, right? So it is good to get advice from different sources at different times, but make sure again that they measure up. And then number four, he says, weigh all counsel given. Proverbs 14, the naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. Now, the purpose of counsel is to offer suggestions and alternatives and options, not to make decisions on our behalf. And even the best financial counsel in the world lacks an essential element necessary to make sound and wise financial decisions. And that's God's plan for the lives of the counselee. That's what Larry Burkett is saying. He may not know what God has for you. You need to know. Sometimes God wants you to take the bigger job with the more money and the more influence. Sometimes God may want you to quit the job to go to something that's not going to make as much money, because God's plan for you is this. And so you're going to have to weigh the things that are given you through prayer and the Word and the Holy Spirit and working those things together. He says, therefore, there should never be a decision made that has not been presented to God in prayer first. All right? Those things can apply to so many different areas, right? Just not money. I thought that was good. Second one I want to do, and then we'll finish up this morning. And this is medical counsel. This is from a Village Church. I thought it was very interesting. Again, I'm just giving you the highlights this morning. But how many of you have ever battled with the idea of taking medication as a Christian? Anybody besides me? Right? Yeah. You kind of feel like, oh, if I'm supposed to be full of the Holy Spirit, then I shouldn't need something to help me with my depression or my anxiety. God should take care of all of it. Right? I should have faith to do that. Why would I need medicine? And so we wrestle with those questions. And yet at the same time, we know that God has given us professional help. How many of us would go to a doctor for a broken ankle or a broken leg, right? Or go to the dentist to get something fixed? We are very thankful for God's gift to us. But on some of those more emotional areas or psychological areas, it's really tricky. And so they laid out some things I thought were really well done to think about when you're trying to make those decisions. And so I want to share them briefly with you. And again, think about how these transfer over to other things in your life. First thing, with a decision you need to make, what is the Lord exposing, challenging, and redeeming in your life? The first question isn't, is it going to make me feel better? That's how I make most of my decisions. Anybody else? Is it going to make me feel better? That's how I make my decision. This is such a great framework. If you have an important decision, one that you're concerned about, instead of just like, is it going to make me feel better? Is it going to really show God's redemptive work in my life? That's a big deal. Second thing, how will your choice help sanctify you and give glory to God? Hear me out here, but be careful, but hear me out. It's not about you. That's hard to say this morning. We had some pretty tough prayer requests this morning, didn't we, right? We got some people going through some super hard stuff. I'll be careful here, but please hear me out. Please talk to me later. I'm really trying so hard not to hurt anyone's feelings or anything like that. But it's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about the Lord getting glory through you. You guys hear my prayer 1,000 times. It's probably been 1,000 times. I've been here almost 10 years. We pray for God's name to be hallowed and that we'd be filled with what? With joy. That's the Lord's plan. So how will this decision, again, if you're thinking about having to take this or that medicine or a medical decision, how is it going to help sanctify you and how will it help give glory to God? This third one is really hard. Are you honestly, confidently, and desperately approaching the Father in prayer? Lord, bless my decision. Now, what makes me feel good? Right? Anybody else feel in the preach? Maybe I'm the only one under conviction today, but this is how that so many times I'm just so driven to like, what's going to make my life easier? And this is, am I really asking God what he wants to do in this decision? Number four, have you invited wise, notice the second one, loving, Christ-cherishing men or women into your life who listen to your struggles and counsel you wisely? Are you trying to go it alone? I know some of you. I know you pretty good. Some of you in my own house. I could do this. I don't need your help. That's definitely a pen thing in my house. I got this under control. Are you trying to go it alone? I love those terms that describe that person, wise, loving, Christ-cherishing people who will listen to your struggles, right? We talked about that this morning in Sunday school in Thessalonians. What are they didn't just share the gospel. What did they share? They shared their lives. Amen? Here's that picture. We need to be this for other people. If we're just at home alone doing our own thing and we're never really listening and hearing other people that God has put in our life, we're off track. We're missing God's will. We need to be listeners to be godly counsel. So to give it, you need to be a listener. To get it, you need to find people like this. Number five, is your decision an expression of faith in Christ and a desire to love him and others, or are you making a decision out of faith or fear? What'd Jesus say? Don't be afraid. Just believe. I don't know if I can handle this if I don't make this decision. If you're making decisions out of fear, you're already making the wrong choice. If you're making it out of the fear of God, you're making the right choice. But if it's just because you're afraid, don't let your decision be an expression of faith. Number six, will your decision edify the body of Christ or tear it down? Well, she just made me so mad. I'm going to let that Vicky know, and I'm going to do it publicly so everybody can hear what kind of person she is, and we're going to straighten this out. Right? And sometimes we get mad at people, and especially if we don't know their motives or situation, and we want to take down someone, and we might hurt the whole body in doing that, right? The challenge here is this going to make us stronger and closer, or is it going to tear things down? Last one, number seven. Are you seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness in your life as a whole, such that this decision serves as an extension of that larger mission? Is this fit into the picture of what God has for me to make his name great and to seek his kingdom first? You guys, you could take those seven things, forget medical stuff, apply that to any decision that you're needing to make. And those are fantastic truths to make godly decisions, especially as it relates to counsel. I hope that you guys have someone in your life. I really miss my Grandma Malone and my Grandpa Malone. When I had harder decisions when I was young in my ministry, almost always went to my grandpa because he had been there. I mean, he'd done it for years. And he was someone, what I loved about my Grandpa Malone is he was the same person on Monday that he was on Sunday. He wasn't any different. There was no hypocrisy. There was no being a fake. He was just that guy. He was the guy that when the choir would come on Sunday and we would sing, the whole congregation might be looking at the whole choir like this. My grandpa's up there, like that. He loved the Lord. He was just full of joy. And if you walked to him in his garden on Monday, he was the same person, full of the same joy. And that's who I'm not a quarter of the man that he is, but that's who's been my example to strive to be. And I hope that you guys can find someone in your life. And I hope also this morning that you might be thinking, I would like to be that person. I'd like to be someone that someone could come to me, not that I'm perfect, but that I could be living in a way, such a way that when people needed advice, that the Lord would use me to give godly advice to them. Who do you turn to when you need counsel? I encourage you to make relationships with godly people. What decisions are you making? Last things here this morning. First, fear the Lord. That's where we start. We need to hate what God hates and love what he loves, and that is absolutely fear the Lord. Second thing, know the word. Know the Bible. Know the scriptures. See what God's word has to say. Third thing, listen by praying. Be filled with God's Holy Spirit and be careful with the fleeces. And as we talked about last week, be careful with the pieces, the idea of have to have peace. And then finally this morning, as we're making our way through making these decisions, heed, think again that word, heed, godly counsel. Look for people that you feel are in close communion with God and listen to them, all right? Let's stand this morning. Thank you guys so much for your attention. I know your preacher can be long-winded, but I think there's so many good truths this morning to take with you. I know we have some important decisions in our life. We're going to ask our musicians to come. Maybe this morning you've got a big decision and you'd just like to come pray about it. Again, these steps up here, we call them the altar, and you are feel free if you'd like to come and to pray or bring a friend to come and to pray. Maybe you have a big decision you would like to get the Lord's mind on. We always want to welcome you.